Star Market Celtics tonight continues from the Garden. Celtics and the Milwaukee Bucks. You know what we do in the media. We pump up these big early season matchups, the undefeated Milwaukee. Hey, Coach, that's what we do. Let me do what I do and you do what you do. Our conversation brought to you by Star Market's Just For You digital app. Earn rewards and save on your groceries and gas. Download the Star Market mobile app or visit starmarket.com. See, I'm not going to go like, hey, must win. It's a must win game tonight. All right, someone said to me on the street today, literally, oh, it's a bad night not to have Jalen. And, you know, you say, yeah, and you kind of keep running, you know, if you're running. And then the more I thought about it, is there ever a good night not to have Jalen?
That's right. That's right. Well, just part of it, you do your best and you plug in the next guy and then you go from there. And, you know, we've got a lot of depth and, you know, we've had to sit Baines for a few games and that was hurtful, I thought, especially in that Orlando game at home. Gordon missed a game already, and we're going to have guys that miss games all year. So you just have to have the next man step up.
In the third quarter, I thought, you know, Jalen's done a lot of things people can't put their hands around. We could come up with all the defensive metrics we wanted to. People can't put their hands around a player's impact beyond the offensive numbers. The defensive numbers haven't advanced that way. I thought his third quarter was, and he's had a few of them, but the third quarter, I thought, the other night was maybe the best example of what he is doing that may not show up in the box score.
Well, he can go to such a high level. He was really engaged. He had a lot of bounce in his step the other day, and you could see it on both sides of the floor. I don't think we win that game without Jalen and Kyrie's third quarter. Yeah. I just think that those two guys kind of carried us in those moments, and on other nights it'll be other guys, but that was specifically a huge moment for our team in that night. And then I thought that Detroit did a good job of hanging in there. They hit some incredibly tough threes at the end of the first half and at the end of the second. And our guys did a good job of responding every time.
Yeah, the Pistons had another tough game last night. Is it too early to suggest this is almost when it comes to
– the answer is probably yes.
It probably is. Yeah, all right. Yes, yeah, so we move on. Mm-hmm. Is it too – I should have come up with another way to phrase that. You caught me on that one. That – right now, is this the best case scenario as far as this group of guys not fitting together is one way to say it, but it really is what catches my eye and ear more is how they all seem to be pulling for each other. We talked to Marcus Morris after the game the other day that it's almost that, you know, we used the Kyrie quote-unquote three-point game the other night as an example of this contentment with and excitement when the next guy up performs well.
Yeah, we need that. I mean, I think that's huge for our team. It's huge for our team moving forward. I just think that, you know, it only is going to happen if everybody handles those moments well when they happen. You know, everybody can talk about it all they want when the season starts or before games start and everything else. But, it, you know, when something doesn't go your way individually and sometimes it's for the collective good. Other times, you know, you don't end up having success, but you just kind of have to move on. And you all have to be on one page, and you all have to support each other. I think the great example that the Red Sox set has been well documented on that. And we were like that for the better part of the last few years. And so I think that that still is going to be probably the most critical thing for this team as we move forward.
Such tough calls for Danny on those options, you know, with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Very difficult, his job.
Nobody asked me about that one.
It's interesting. Yeah, nobody did. But in speaking about guys that other people get excited for on the bench, I think when people see Gershon's option picked up, they kind of raise their eyebrows. What is the thought process general, or, you know, your perspective on the organizational thought on picking up that option and what it is he's going to be able to do?
There's very few bigs in the league that can guard the post with their size and guard the perimeter on a switch or guard them as a guard's going downhill. And Gersh has to get better in some areas. There's no question about it. But his skill set on offense fits the way that we play and the way that the modern NBA plays. And defensively, you can do a lot of the switching. You can do a lot of the different things that you need to be able to do to be successful. And, you know, I think that, you know, how often do you have a guy that can move his feet like that, that also weighs 275 pounds and, you know, is rock solid? And so I think that it's easy to be skeptical when guys don't play as much, and I certainly understand that. But when you take a step back in coaching or the front office or whatever the case may be, you reconsider that he's 22 years old. And every time he's gotten an opportunity, especially in a starting role, which he did against Washington last year, against Utah last year, last game of the season against Brooklyn. He's been very good. So that's encouraging.
Interesting segue. Bigs with unique skill sets. There was a player that played for a couple of years in Atlanta named Pero Antic for Atlanta. And I remember that, and Max remembers it, because he came cold into a game at the end of a game, which I think was your first year. And Mike Budenholzer, who was in his first year as a head coach, ran a play for him to shoot a three at the end of the game. It was one of those nights I always remember when you know the league is changing. We have talked about
this. We won
this.
That night.
Yes, yes, you did win that night. And I know you remember all 25 of the wins.
I remember all 25 of those.
Very, very well. But it's funny, I hadn't thought of him until today when I was coming up with this, you know, this discussion topic about how it's interesting in the first, we've only seen seven different teams, but we've already seen Steve Clifford in Orlando, and we've seen Dwayne Casey in Detroit, and I've asked you if you could see the fingerprint with the familiar faces sort of in new places. With Mike Budenholzer here in Milwaukee, I don't even have to ask. You don't have to dust for prints, because they are all over everything that they have done so far.
They are, and, you know, I said this last year, and Atlanta wasn't, you know, obviously a highly efficient offense by any means, but they, like, the shell of what they were doing, yeah. If you remember us talking about this, I was totally in love with and intrigued by. And what he's done is he's taken it now to Milwaukee, and it fits perfect with their team. They're spacing their fives. They're setting traditional screens that are set by bigs with anybody. They're not doing a ton of ball screens. They're playing more in space. And they've got so many guys that can floor it and so many guys that can shoot it. It just makes a lot of sense. I think that Lopez and Ilyasova open them up quite a bit on that end of the floor, and you really have to account for those guys, which leaves the rim open. And, you know, they probably have, if not the best, one of the best in the league at finishing and getting to the rim.
That Lopez addition was like with the sneakiest offseason addition, I think, that nobody talked about, was Lopez going to Milwaukee and what he does. People, to oversimplify it the way we like to do, and that fans who are seeing Milwaukee for the first time, it's really just more shooters around. Yeah, it gives Giannis a lot more freedom to do what he likes to
You think about who they are playing in their rotation now. Off the bench, it's Snell, Connaughton, DiVincenzo, Ilyasova. All those guys shoot. They all shoot. The only guy that hadn't historically shot it was Henson, and now he's shooting threes too. But I think that's just kind of the way of the league. And you look at Baines has really, I think, improved because he's stretched his game out, and that helps.
That's the head coach. When is it no longer too early for me to start a question with, is it too early?
I think everybody tells me the 20 game mark, right. And I'm not sure that's not just the like an old, you know, tale. Right. I don't know what the answer is.
I'm making a note.
It feels early, though.
I'll not do it again until we get to game 21, and then I'll just assume we're all on the same page.
And then it'll be perfect timing.
As always, Celtics and Bucks next on the 98.5 The Sports Hub Celtics Radio Network.